The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing, and it's not just any Saturday. This Saturday is Derby Day. We have the Group 1 feature contest and the Epsom Classic, the feature race at Epsom. We also have Musselburgh, Doncaster, Hexham and Worcester in the afternoon. Lingfield, Newcastle and Limerick make up the evening action, and it's Ross Brierley, Rory DeLarghi, Gary Capewell and Brian Toomey in the studio throughout the course of the day. Plenty to look forward to. We get underway at 1:25, so do tune in for all of that. Right now, though, my name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined on the line by Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Good, Mark. Yeah, fantastic weekend's racing.
Oh, it is, isn't it? It's brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant.
We've got the biggest classic of them all coming up on Saturday with the Derby, and an ever-changing picture in the Derby this past week or so. We'll move on to that shortly. We won't get too stuck into it now, but what a day we have coming up.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite Saturdays of the whole year, I think, even though, so, you know, the old heart would be sort of more in jumping, really, but the Epsom Derbies, I think, is one of my favourite races ever.
Yeah.
And I just, the two-day meeting down there is just absolutely fantastic. Wish I was there, but I will be watching every race from the comfort of my sofa.
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret that you're more of a jumps girl at heart, but everybody looks forward to Derby Day, don't
brilliant.
They?
Yeah.
And the supporting card, like you've mentioned, the 2 days at Epsom are brilliant, aren't they? I mean, we're going to look at the Coronation Cup and the Epsom Dash, so plenty to look forward to. Let's get straight stuck into the action. Let's not mess about. The first race that we're going to look at is the 2:40, and this is the Coronation Cup in commemoration of St Nicholas Abbey, who was a three-time winner of the race. It's a Group 1 contest over a mile and a half, and the betting is headed by Cyrus de Zegler, who's 4-5, 7-2 for Flintshire, Talent is 6-1, 9-1 for Empoli, 12-1 for Ambivalent, and then 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. Cyrus de Zegler really back to his best, isn't he? He's bounced right back to form in his last two outings, and I don't think 4-5 was a bad price looking at the betting. What do you make of this?
No, I don't either, and I'm sort of always, when we do these pods, I'm always loath to put up sort of short price favourites, but to be honest with you, Mark, he looks absolutely bomb-proof, doesn't he? You know, the old saying, form is temporary, class is permanent. I mean, that really does fit this horse. We've given him a couple of mentions on recent pods, just that how he is one of those flat performers that you take to heart. I just can't. Well, it's a very, very stupid thing to say sometimes in racing, but like defeat, you can't see defeat being out of the question. But really, when you add it all up, I mean, the trip's going to absolutely no problem for him. He's won over 1 mile 4.5 in very soft conditions before. And especially if, due biblical rain, aren't they, tomorrow? Biblical rain and storms at Epsom. So, I mean, if that did arrive, that's even more in his favour. The race is kind of, if you go back to the Shima Classic on the 29th of March, you got the second, third, and fourth all reopposing here. That's Cyrus de Zegler. And Empoli, obviously, locking horns again. About the German performer, again, you've got the stamina assured, and he was a late closer in the Shima Classic. I know he's Group 1 place, but I just wonder, that is he really good enough in a field of this quality? I know maybe lost some of the shine with the fact that Ruler of the World picked up an injury, but really, when you look at this race, you've got your standouts like Cyrus de Zegler, Flintshire and Talent, of course, and Ambivalent, really. You know, they're kind of the flag bearers in this. Just touching on Roger Varian's horse there, Ambivalent. And there's this concern as if they did get the sort of monstrous rain tomorrow, would conditions go too soft for it? Be perfect as it was now. Obviously, she won the Middleton Stakes Group 2 contest at York. It was off 110, she's now 112. That's not sort of, you know, I don't think that's really harsh at all. Obviously, it makes no sort of difference really in a Group 1 race. But she won the Pretty Polly Stakes at the Curragh June last year, 1 mile 2. There's no lack of stamina in her pedigree. She's related to Sunday Symphony, 1 mile 6 winner, and even the 3 mile hurdler made in Japan. I know the trainer said after York that he was thinking of an international campaign with her in the autumn. I think she's a very, very, very tough mare. obviously you've got the likes of talent. We know she'll handle the track. We know she'll handle the distance. She does like a bit of cut. I think sort of the only sort of real, you know, not so great performance last year was when she really hit the good to firm ground at the Curragh. I think she wants that perfect round, that perfect racing ground. It was possibly too heavy for her at Ascot last year. I know the official sort of going was soft, but it really was heavy on Champions Day. To be honest, I think she's actually his Cirrus's biggest danger. And again, if the rains arrived, then be sort of really done for poor old Flincher. He wants it good. Again, the trip's perfect for him. The draw's perfect. He is a genuine Group 1 performer. And it was too soft for him in the Prix-Nel and in the Arc. I mean, he was pretty stylish when he won the Grand Prix de Paris on good ground. But all in all, I mean, Cirrus des Aigles, his record needs no introduction whatsoever. And I just, barring an act of God, Mark, I can't see defeat. And I would sort of, to be honest, if I'm going to be having a bet in this race, then I'd probably be sort of looking at a Cirrus des Aigles talent forecast.
Okay, yeah, it all looks pretty straightforward on paper with the form of Cirrus des Aigles at the moment. So that's the selection in the Coronation Cup. In stark contrast to that, the Dash is absolutely wide open. You've picked a real tricky race to look at here, and it's at 3:15. It's Heritage Handicap over 5 furlongs. We have a whole host, 20 of them in the lineup here, and these big field sprints can go any number of ways. Caspian Prince is the 7-1 favourite. Smooth Talking Rascal 8-1. 9-1 for Steps. 10s for Elusivity and Even Stevens. 12-1 for Barnet Fair and Eton Rifles. It's then 14-1 for a whole host of runners. Monsieur Joe, New Forest, Seeking Magic, Swan Song, and Tangerine Trees. And then 16-1 or bigger prices. The rest wide open. This, Catherine, which ones do you like here?
I love this race, Mark, and it's quite strange sort of for someone whose heart is so much in jumping to be absolutely in love with 5 furlong sprints, but they're probably one of my favourite contests on the flat, and especially this one. It's just, isn't it supposed to be the fastest 5 furlongs in the world?
It is, yes.
Yeah, and obviously they're running downhill for most of the way, and there does tend to be a sort of, I was looking at the draw last night, and there is sort of the bias towards a high draw in a large field. Two interest me. I'll start with Swan Song. I think you can totally write off what happened at Haydock last week. The hood was removed very late. She was slowly away. She was a course and distance winner in August last year. Obviously, around a quirky little track like Epsom, that totally helps. She's beautifully bred by Lock Song. She's a sister to Lock Verdi. She won the 5 furlong condition stakes at Chester off 94. She's off a mark of 100 now. I think, you know, I wonder if her showing had been better at Haydock last week, I think you'd see her as a shorter price here. But you really, they say you really can sort of disregard that run, really. One of the favourites you mentioned there, Caspian Prince, he interests me as well. He, again, like Swan Song, he's got a nice draw. Like Swan Song's drawn 15, Caspian Prince is drawn 14. Caspian Prince, obviously, mixes the all-weather racing with the turf, and there is a school of thought that says that the Epsom turf is a similar surface to what they actually face on Polytrack. He won the 5 furlong handicap at the opening April meeting at Epsom. Absolutely plumb draw that day. You know, was able to overcome an awkward start. Second at Chester of 97, stays on the same mark. And those two are the sort of biggest players for me. I know that I'm always sort of a bit cheeky in these big field handicaps and pick out two, but they are my two. Others I think are worth a mention. Obviously, Elusivity, he was second to Caspian Prince. And he was a bit unlucky in running. And Lady Gibraltar, she's a course and distance winner. She's right down there, horse number 19. And she actually has the visor reapplied. She is a bit in and out, but, you know, sprinters are very much like that. And just for the fact that she absolutely loves the place, you'd have to be giving her a squeak as well. I've got no idea of her price, but I think it might be quite a nice one. But really, I say, you know, it looks impossible on paper, but if you start digging in a bit, the two for me would be Swan Song and Caspian Prince.
Okay, Swan Song and Caspian Prince. I'm just going to throw it into the mix here, Catherine, and see what you think of this. It's pretty obvious, really, but Smooth Talking Rascal ran well on reappearance when winning at Musselburgh, has taken on some pretty high-class opposition since, was second in this race last year by a neck after a terrible draw and a really bad start, so I suppose he was just feeling that he was unlucky last year. I'd like to see him get his head in front this year and get a bit of compensation. Is it too obvious though, and is 106 going to be too high for him in the handicap now?
To be honest, Mark, that's, you know, that's why I kind of looked him over, and just for the fact that really, I know obviously last time out, you know, the conditions might not have been in his favour, and you could have made that case the time before. It definitely looks as though he does prefer a better service. Does have a victory there at York in good to soft. I just think that when you've got other horses that like the place, such as Swansong and Caspian Prince, are sort of much lower blue, and Swansong, she is bred to be better than sort of the older she gets, and I think that there's so much better to come from horses like her. I just I kind of passed him over just for the fact that he is a little bit too high. But I totally understand where you're coming from. I was actually at Epsom on Derby Day last year and saw him sort of just get touched off by a nose. And you're right. He was drawn one, was he, last year? I think so.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can see your reckoning.
Okay, so just remind us of your two, and then we'll move on to the big race itself.
The K2 for the Dash, Swansong and Caspian Prince.
Okay, on to the big race of the day, then the Investec Derby, the Group 1 contest over a mile and a half for three-year-olds. And Australia is the 11-8 market leader. And interestingly, he's been on the drift pretty much all week. He was odds on earlier on in the week, now out to 11-8. Geoffrey Chaucer 7-1. Kingston Hill, popular earlier on in the week, 10s into 7s. True Story 10-1. Ebonor and 14s with Fascinating Rock and Orchestra and Western Hymn 16-1 for Arod. Romsdale 25-1 after being supplemented, and 50-1 or bigger price as the rest. We'll start with Australia, who was 10-11 earlier on in the week. We've heard Aidan O'Brien's concerns about the rain, and if it did come, the soft ground wouldn't suit Australia. He's running the Guineas was encouraging. The Guineas is working out very well. He's bred to be a Derby horse. Is 11-8 starting to become of appeal now that he drifts out?
I think he went too short in the first place, didn't he, really? I've sort of been harking on about Australia for the Derby for some time, and that his run in the Guineas sort of cemented that even further. But then straight off that, I wish I'd have backed him before that, because he just became absolute sort of, you know, terrible price. He's kind of the product of equine perfection, really, isn't he? You know, Galileo out of Ouija board. I know Aidan is concerned about, if those storms arrive by 4 o'clock tomorrow. I think it's worth looking back at his run at Leopardstown in September last year, because even though the official going was good, Aidan says that it was actually a little bit on the yielding side. Obviously, yielding is the Irish good to soft. I think anything worse than that would be a concern. But it's so strange. I've thought for so long that Australia would win the Derby, and kind of I've started to drift away from him myself just because of his price. I'm actually going to put up a bigger price individual, just purely because I think that the value is there. But still, you know, still in my heart, Australia wins the Derby. I've talked about him an awful lot, but I mean his pedigree is absolutely to die for. In regards of a sort of progeny of Ouija board, he is relatively straightforward. You don't see sort of the temperament issues that you've seen in other progeny. If you had to be ultra critical, you could maybe say that yes, he's sometimes slowly away, but really doesn't seem to sort of do him any disservice, to be honest with you. The horse that is starting to make more and more appeal to me, the more I look at him, is the disqualified Derrenstown Stakes, you know, Derrenstown Derby trial winner is Ebonorum. I think if you look back at that Derby trial, he drifts out of, you know, the interference is caused by greenness more than anything else. But it was he accelerated and you know, he got past them and then drifted in. And he showed a turn of foot that day. And he showed when he ran at Leopardstown the time before, he's got a lovely stride. Declan Madonna is very, very tactically aware. I saw him win on a maiden at Nace from an impossible draw. And he, you know, he really is on the ball. And again, you know, you've got stamina assured. I know he's BioOasis Dream, which is obviously best known for the sprinters, but he does get stayers as well. But his dam's an Irish Oaks winner, a French Ledger winner. And it is going to be interesting to see where he finishes in the two sort of that he was involved with at Leopardstown, Fascinating Rock and Geoffrey Chaucer. There is stamina there. He's a half brother to Enzeli and Estimate, so you know, I'm not worried about that. If we touch on Geoffrey Chaucer, it's been, you know, we've talked about the vibes coming out of Ballydore for him for the last couple of weeks, and yes, he did. He had a very, very hard passage, got messed around twice in Derrenstown, and wasn't knocked around after that. The ground's going to be absolutely no issue at all. He's out of Monjour. Obviously, Monjour's side, four Derby winners. He's a half brother to Charmadel. He's very, very straightforward. 1 mile 4 is going to be absolutely no problem at all. His dam's a 1 mile 2 winner, and is actually, you know, a full sister to Street Choir, I believe. So they're the three that I'm expecting to see fight out the finish. Obviously, the two Ballydore horses and Ebonorum. Of the rest, I see that Kingston Hill coming in for some support today,
yeah.
Mark?
Yeah, well, he's 7-1 now.
Yeah.
He was 10-1 earlier on in the week, but yeah. We've seen quite a lot of support for him this week.
And obviously, if the more rain that arrives at Epsom is going to be sort of more in his favour. He's the Group 1 winner in the field. He just couldn't quite sort of go the pace, I think, really, in the Guineas. If you watch it back, the cut's going to suit, and he'll get the trip absolutely no problem. Of the others, I see a little bit of sort of, just looking at odds check here, Mark, seeing a little bit of money for Orchestra, obviously winner of the Chester Vars from Romsdal. He is from a proper sort of middle distance family, and he's a decent colt in his own right. Obviously, he looks to be the sort of Ballydoyle sort of third string here almost. But the likes of True Story, I think, you know, again, we're waiting on the weather. I think he wants fast ground. Was it the slow ground at York that undid him? I think the problem with True Story is I know that possibly, you know, the Dante form has been frank sort of with the Grey Gatsby, but I just think that he sort of, he gets very, very keen sort of going to post and does seem to want the faster ground. Other than that, I'm struggling to see past those three, to be honest with you, with the likes of Western Hymn, obviously classic trial winner in soft ground, which he overcame. It's been some speculation if you'll see out the one mile four. The dam's half sister did. That doesn't sort of concern me too much, but you know, he does hold his head a bit funny. And of course, you know, the things we have to remember with Epsom is that it can blow some horses' minds. The noise that, you know, as they go to post faster stands, and then the noise that comes off the downs as well. Saw what it did to Dawn Approach last year. I think you've sort of you can make the point of New Approach. Obviously, you know, he was ponied to the start and was a bit of a screwball, but still overcame that. I just think, yes, Australia would have a tendency to show temperament, but he hasn't shown that much in the past. I think you're kind of looking almost for quite a professional 3-year-old and something. That, I mean, like Rule of the World last year, I couldn't see him winning at first, but when I actually went back and looked at it, I thought, well, yeah, of course. You know, stamina was assured. He was a straightforward type. It's sort of, I don't know, I just think it's, I mean, it's a mad test for a sort of a fantastically bred equine, this, isn't it? I mean, it's so quintessentially English as well, isn't it? Like, where else in the world would they run a group one on that type of course? You know what I mean? It's absolutely bonkers. I was lucky enough to walk Epsom many years ago, and I fell in love with the place there and then. I just could not believe the contours of it. You know, it made that uphill, downhill at Cheltenham sort of look ordinary, really, because it's the cambers as well, isn't it? You know, in the last few furlongs, they're absolutely bonkers. Where were you with the Derby, Mark?
Well, in terms of selection, I think Australia's becoming an appealing price now. Mm. But the market weakness, I suppose, it puts you off as well as tempts you in, which is awkward.
Yeah.
I think Kingston Hill is entitled to go well. Obviously, the Guineas is working out well. This step-up in trip looks to be in the plan all season. They've only raced him the once and saved him for this race. Won the Racing Post Trophy last year, which has proved to be a pretty good trial for the Derby in the past as well. So I quite like him. I think True Story, we might see a better showing from True Story, because the Dante form, whilst it was disregarded pretty much straight after the race, it's working out quite well now, and Kieran Fallon's made the right noises about him after the race, and I don't think the ground's going to be too soft, hopefully, if the rain stays away. So I think we might, and the fact that it'll be a bigger field and a better pace to aim at rather than a muddling six runner affair kind of thing, I think that might suit him. The winner at Chester,
Orchestra,
yeah.
There's a bit of money around for him as well, isn't there?
Well, it's just in the same respect as last year. The only winner, Ruler of the World, won that race, of course. He was the only runner to have run over a mile and a half in last year's Derby, and it proved to be significant. So I think Orchestra will have learned quite a lot from that run at Chester.
Yeah,
well,
I think also if you're looking at Orchestra, I mean, I'm just looking at odds check here, and sort of Orchestra 14-1 with you guys. Is that correct, Mark?
14s, yes.
Yeah, well, I think then if you're sort of looking at Orchestra, you have to look at Romsdal. Obviously, he was supplemented. He just failed to reel in Orchestra at Chester. I think the two things about Romsdal, even though I can't see Romsdal finishing in the first three, but I could see him finishing sort of an up close fourth and fifth. The reason why is like his stamina is assured, and he seems a very professional horse. He seems to like a battle, and he willingly responds to whatever they throw at him. I think, you know, that's going to stand him in good stead around Epsom. I'm finding it hard to sort of desert Australia totally, but the horse that is becoming to make more and more appeal to me is Ebonoran.
Okay, are you going to play them both? Are you going to go with both of them?
is that a fence sitting?
I don't know. Two out of 16, I suppose it's not quite fence sitting.
I'll be brave. I'm just going to go with Ebonoran.
Okay, good stuff. We like it. Nice bit of bravery there in the Derby. They say luck favours the brave, don't they? So
yeah.
Hopefully so. Right then, let's just have a quick summary then, Catherine, if you'll remind us of your selections for Derby Day.
Absolutely. Okay, so in the Coronation Cup, Sir Estes Eagles to bring the house down. In the Dash, one of my favourite races of the whole year, we're going to go with Swan Song and Caspian Prince. I will go with two there, to the size of the field and the fact it's a handicap. And in the Derby, I'm going to go with Ebonoran.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Catherine. Good luck with your selections, and enjoy Derby Day.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on Derby Day, the big day coming up at Epsom on Saturday. You'll hear all of the action on Racing Radio from 1:25 PM. It'll be Ross Brierley, Rory DeLaghi, Gary Capewell and Brian Toomey with you throughout the day. We have obviously Derby Day at Epsom. Alongside that, there's Musselburgh, Doncaster, Hexham and Worcester in the afternoon, Lingfield, Newcastle and Limerick in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do make sure you tune in for all of the action. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.